Hayley's Today on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, Nigeria, welcome to Dailies Today. We're reaching you live from our audiovisual studios on Etimi and Crescent, Victoria Island, Lagos, Nigeria. You can watch live right now on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. That's right, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to start with a punch this morning. Jimmy is here on the show as well. He joins via Skype this morning. So the punch headline this one that we're going to start with is this one here that says Benin or Benin rejects Igboho's hasty extradition. Lawyers write Germany to stop moves. Benin rejects Igboho's hasty extradition. Lawyers write Germany to stop moves. Jimmy?
I just like us to tarry a while and get certain facts right. I just want us to tell you, well, because apart from the fact that the facts we get are in truth hazy and you can't put your finger on them, but it's also good that, especially the journalists who report these things, it's also good that, you know, we should know how these things work out. The headline says, Benin rejects Igboho's hasty extradition. The truth is, he was arrested by the Beninois. I think that's much we can say, because the Nigerian soldiers couldn't have arrested him anyway. Mm-hmm. And we, as you would expect, it's not peculiar to Benin or to any other country. Once it also involves something diplomatic, the procedures will be followed to the letter.
Right.
Under no condition would the Beninois, in the very first instance, have arrested a Nigerian national or somebody with dual nationality, because we still are not sure of what passport he was carrying, and then just hand him over to. It's never done.
People need to understand with dual nationality.
Where things like that could happen, maybe like in Kanu's case, which we are not even sure what actually took place. Those are back end situations, not somebody who's arrested at the airport. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Let's leave Kanu's issue for now, but let us stop, keep happy, so that we can have a clear focus of what's going on. The Beninois have no alternative. That's where I'm going. And to now say that, oh, they always believe in the rule of law, they're a better country. I'm sorry. It's neither here nor there. They have no other alternative. They'll have their laws. He will go under the due process. That is how it is done. That is how it is done. They don't have an alternative to say no. They have an alternative to say no. If you get to court, all these things you can now prove.
Yeah.
To say this is what is this and that. Then the court will take a decision. So let's focus our minds on that, especially for his supporters. Let's focus our minds on that and walk in that direction. Okay? I'm glad that he has a legal team.
That's right.
I don't know who heads the team, but the next story you're going to read has some things from his lawyer that are quite significant.
That's right.
The story from the Vanguard.
That's right. It says standby helicopter was to bring Igboho to Nigeria, but Yoruba indigenes fought. That's according to his lawyer.
Yes, I'm trying to put this into some kind of perspective.
Okay.
Who owns the helicopter that was on standby to fly him to Nigeria? If it's a Nigerian, helicopter, how did the Beninois clear it? And if you say that Yoruba's indigenous fought who and how? Now, if you've had any experience with the Beninois gendarme, these people are highly professional. Okay, my experience with them many years back is, even for the ones on the street, they're highly professional. So I'm not saying that I doubt this story. But let's also be very careful and be very clear. Let's have a clear idea of what actually went down there, so we don't get lost in all this easy reporting. And I think the part of the problem is the Nigerian newspapers want to hold on to the story. I left that way back when Punch first came out, and they held on to the Fela story, and it made them a superstar paper that they are today. But in doing that, I can maybe I'd like to advise my colleagues. There are other stories around this thing that can be of better interest. Instead of us, we've been having the same thing in the papers every day, how he did this and how he did that, according to his source and this and that. But there are stories, by now I expect the Nigerian newspapers to have sense of to sniff around where he was staying in Benin, talking to his neighbors, to go to his hometown, get reaction from his immediate neighbors and so on and so forth. And you know, you can keep the story going without trying to refresh the same. And what they do is, in doing that, they now go into the same old story that you've been seeing times on and on and on. But there is something here that I find very interesting.
What's
very
that?
Very interesting. And I had hoped that I would advise him on that, and he seems to have taken it. Now, he has this lawyer, his personal lawyer. I'm looking for his name now. He has a personal lawyer who has given an account as to how he was arrested. And then he says that Sodo Buhu is in police detention in Benin Republic, specifically in Cotonou. And he says that apparently his brother was also there. You know, his brother was there, and that he was able to take the flight on to Germany. He says he was brought down with the wife and brother, and the fracas ensued because he was to be flown to Nigeria by a standby helicopter.
Okay.
But the wife and brother put up a fight and started shouting at the airport, which attracted some other Yoruba indigenous. And he now talks about his own line of communication. But this is what he says that I find interesting, and I want people to listen carefully. He says, my communication with him is indirect. We don't want to create a situation where I now go to Cotonou and I'll be embarrassed for some other things. We know who is heading the police, who is the High Commissioner on Cotonou. I can't go to that area now, but I speak with him indirectly anytime I want to speak with him. I've been speaking with him through somebody that should know. Now, I had always thought that Ubuhu needs a professional lawyer. And the man that he puts to head that is in charge of his legal team says, I don't belong to any group, neither Feniferi nor Odua Nation. I am directly appointed by Sunday, not for any group, not for Odua Group, and not for Afeniferi or anybody. In fact, my own philosophy is different from their philosophy. But professionally, I am for Sunday and the rule of law, nothing political. You see, what helps Sunday in this case, what helps Sunday is that he's going to have a lawyer who is likely going to be less emotional and would rather concentrate on the facts and the strategies that can actually get him out of this. You see, because even though there's a political tone to it, you still have to face the legal angle. And the less emotional you have, the less emotional a lawyer is in this case, and the less, philosophical he is in this case, the clearer and the more strategic it might be for him, you know, to get out of this mess that he's in.
Right.
So I think in that regard, Ubuhu has made very good decision.
But do you think, Jimmy, that a political solution may also come in handy here? Yeah, I get it. The lawyer needs to do his job professionally as well.
Yes.
You know, to fast track things. But then, what's the place of political solution to this?
The political solution will definitely come in. It will definitely come in. You can't. You're not going to wave this away with the back of your hand. You're not just going to jail this man, for example, or whatever, and sentence him. And then, of course, you know he has a large followership. A lot of people believe in him and believe in his philosophy. Part of this problem, again, I must state, was created by the government. But we don't want to go on that route just yet. Let's stick to the case. There is no way, both in the case of Kanu and in the case of Igboho, that ultimately you will not have a political solution. But you can't take away also the legal angle.
That's right.
And I am glad about the lawyer. I'm glad for him about the fact that he's taking the lawyer who will be more focused, who will be more focused on the technicalities of the law rather than playing to the gallery. Because people must understand, just like in the case of this girl's case too, that when it comes to law, it's a different ballgame entirely. Law is based on facts. And even if you're going to have a political solution, you still have to sort out the knotty issues of the law. And I don't think this gentleman, like he said he doesn't even believe in the philosophy, but that professionally he is going to stand for Sunday Ogboho. And I think Sunday Ogboho, to be honest with you, has made a very good move in that regard. Mm. I believe it would help his case. Mm. You see, unfortunately, lawyers, some of the lawyers that we have can sometimes get, when I see the reaction of some of them,
right.
I get startled because they want to play to the gallery. Quote and unquote, sometimes they want to identify with the people. And in so doing, might get involved into all kinds of theatrics that might complicate the case. I'm glad for Ogboho that he secured the gentleman's name is Yomi Aliyu. And let me quickly say that this the Vanguard got the story from an interview he granted on another radio station.
Right, indeed. Let's move on away from Vanguard. Let's go pick up this story in This Day newspaper. It's an opinion piece, by the way. Osinbajo can return Nigeria to an era of professionalism in government. It's written by one Isiobong Okonekong. And he writes that Vice President Yemi Osinbajo understands the challenges and demands of the Office of President of Nigeria and has acquired the depth of on-the-job training and preparedness to succeed President Muhammadu Buhari. Is this some kind of, you know, an arrangement towards the 2023 election? And what's your thought about this piece? You've read it.
Yeah, I've read it, yes. I've read it. First of all, it's a sell. It's a marketing piece. It's marketing Osinbajo. Let me first of all talk about the gentleman who wrote this, Isiobong Okonekong. Isiobong Okonekong is not a small fry in journalism. At least about 25, 30 years ago, I came across him when he was in the Bund.
Okay.
And at the very least at that time, I could jolly well think that he probably was an assistant editor. So you're not dealing with a small boy.
Right.
You're not dealing with this small fry. Isiobong is well respected. Now, if there is no way he would have written this piece, marketing the vice president, without him at the very least getting some tepid agreement from him to say, I want to run. What I can deduce from this is that Yemi Osinbajo is likely to run for the presidency. This story, this article skipped us by, you know, with something we could probably have seen yesterday.
Yeah.
But listen to what he says. He says Osinbajo has worked very closely, almost without rancor with Buhari, except for instances of misunderstanding and so on and so forth. But he says that for now, it may be said that the vice president has no personal agenda beyond carrying out assigned rules and giving unalleged support to his principal. His loyalty brings to mind years of this. He talks about that. Then he says the ruling APC has experienced a lot of skirmishes. He talks about all that. He talks about his relationship with Tinubu.
Nice.
But he then says this. He says, as president, Osinbajo will certainly be under some sort of pressure from Tinubu directly or remotely from his supporters. Mm. The demand on him would be to show gratitude at all times. He's assuming that the man is going to run and would be president. Mm. And he says that to date, it may be argued that the most successful Minister of Finance in Nigeria was Obafemi Awolowo, who is the grandfather of his wife, of Osinbajo's wife, who was a lawyer, journalist, and thinker. Osinbajo headed Nigeria's economic team at the most critical period under Buhari presidency. He talks about his record of accomplishments as has always been indelible until the mud that was plastered over his reputation. He talks about all that. He says, supposing the APC permutation favors him and he goes on to win the general election, Mr. Osinbajo, his professor, will also do very well in foreign relations.
Right.
He spoke about economics, like his mentor in politics. Osinbajo has an uncanny gift to assemble the right team of men and women that can build bridges and so on and so forth. Mm. And he now says, before Nigerians are offered the choice between Osinbajo and others, the APC must do the country the favor of bringing him to word and availing him with the best support available.
Mm.
Now, this is difficult to convince me that you don't have an Osinbajo team that is working. But if Osinbajo wants to run for presidency, the time is now.
Mm.
The time is now. This country we need to know those who are running so we can have a sense of direction, you know, so that we can have a sense of direction. And he, in the article, I'd like people to try, you know, find it and, you know, get to read it. He sells the virtues of Oshibajo. He doesn't talk about the minuses. One of the minuses that we hear,
right.
I don't know how far it's true, is that there is a perception.
Mm-hmm.
There is a perception that he is always tilted in favor of members of his church, members of his church. I don't want to embarrass the church by naming, but everybody knows. There is that it's a perception. Now, that is something that if you might want to wave it away now.
Okay.
But if he never he becomes president, if he doesn't take that toga off his whatever, we don't want to have another situation where all are... Now, that's a bit of a joke. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Oshibajo needs to come clear. If he wants to run, now is the time. Nigerians need to look beyond Buhari. You can't change this man. He has less than 2 years to go.
Mm.
So we need to have a light at the end of the tunnel to say, okay, let's manage him. This gentleman is coming. As we speak, the only people that I know in my mind who have either declared whatever, you have Tinubu, I think Saraki has made some kind of, he's been making some announcements.
Mm.
And of course, we have Al-Mustafa who says that in his own release, he's come out that he will be the, he has the capacity to solve Nigeria's security problems.
let me drop this in there since we're talking about this. There is this story on page 27 of Daily Trust, is in some of the papers as well, that says 2023 we will field consensus candidates, the APC. The story says the ruling All Progressives Congress APC has said President Muhammadu Buhari has no third term agenda, adding that the party's presidential candidate for the 2023 general elections will emerge by consensus. That is what APC is saying. Do you think that's a good move for the party? Number one, could the consensus possibly be Oshibajo in this case? Possibly.
No. What I would plead with the APC is consensus or whatever. Please let it go through the primaries where everybody would have a sense of participation, so you don't tear the party apart. Mm-hmm. Because what I know about consensus in the APC, at least on this side of town, is consensus means a few elders lock themselves up in a room and then they say, okay, this
is an ordained candidate.
Mm. We don't want any messy thing like that. Let the will of the people prevail. That's where I stand.
Mm.
I don't mind an Oshibajo as president, I must publicly say. Now, this is not for people to come and say that you told us to vote for Oshibajo. Mm. Yes, I did that in Buhari. He fall my hand. He fall everybody's hand. But you can't hold me responsible. Our job here is to lay out all the options for you, but it is your finger. If when you were given the ballot paper, you didn't call Jimmy Disu to come and stamp it for you to say, okay, Jimmy, help me stamp this in so you can go forward.
Yeah.
So make everybody be in papa name. but jokes aside, I would think that because Oshibajo had a small shot for about 6 weeks and his impact was felt. His impact was felt. And also, at least I would like to see a president that would inspire me in the world stage. He stands up to talk, he stands up to address issues. I would be more than glad. We've been denied that. We must be honest with ourselves for a very long time.
Right.
We've been denied a leader that has that international stature, which the Ghanaians have sorted out. The last three or four, in fact, the current president of Ghana, I think he also will be a QC in his country. And I think he went to either Oxford or Cambridge. I'm not sure which one.
Right.
Nigeria needs to move on. Nigeria needs somebody who is exposed, with high intellect and confidence.
Mm.
And Nigeria, who can handle this country hands on. He will delegate to people, yes. But Nigeria is, the underbelly of Nigeria is a bit weak. The civil service is weak. It's been completely bastardized.
Mm.
Apart from the fact that the remuneration is very poor, the aftermath, like when you retire, is almost zero. So what you have in the civil service are people who are scrambling. And then scrambling for this, for a piece of the cake, and putting their hands in the cookie jar.
Mm.
And then also in the case of the other problem you also have with the civil service is that for 20, 25 years, our universities have been run down gradually.
Mm.
I know of people who jump was done for them. Their first degree was done for them. The thesis for their master's was written for them. You hear all these stories.
Mm.
So what do you have? They can't get into the private sector, but through man, no man, they can get into the public sector.
Mm.
So we have a public sector that is on the average, fairly weak. So Nigeria needs that leader who can take things hands on. And I think he might just, at least of all those who have been put forward, I think he would fit the bill. And in the case of Otibajo, we know him. We know him. We know the primary school he went to. Mm. We know the secondary school he went to. We know there is no plus or minus about who he is or what he has done. It's very, very clear. Mm.
Indeed. We need to begin to wrap up now, Jimmy, but I need to take this story from Daily Independent. Page 6 of Daily Independent that says, Nigeria no longer at ease, Catholic bishops lament. Let me read part of what the Catholic bishops are saying. They're saying that, quote, a nation that has lost its soul is characterized by inept, uncaring leadership, which functions by selective allocation of posts, privileges and resources, and by selective application of justice. It is characterized by leaders who, rather than care for the citizens of the country, simply exploit and denigrate them. Such a nation takes food out of the mouths of its own citizens and watches them starve. It deploys its scarce resources to the advantage of the rich and powerful, while offering mere crumble to the poor and weak. It's a long statement.
Yes, the Catholic bishops are not telling us something we don't know. And once again, I'd like to plead with my people, turning this country around is not going to be an event. It's going to be a process. And we are now at a critical point where we can make changes if we are determined. Go out there and get your PVC. I am happy, for example, I think a senator representing one area in the East has been quoted by his people. Where were you when the electoral votes were being cast on electronic or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, he's been... Yes, we need to get involved in this process. The Catholic bishops are not telling us anything we don't know. It's not breaking news. Hmm. It's not... And we keep, so, with this gentleman, we've had him in the saddle. Anytime from now, he's going to have to hand over. And I don't think anybody in these current times will be attempting a third term. So anytime from now, but who is he going to hand over to? We must be focused. We can't afford to be looking in different directions. Right now, Nigeria is scattered. We can't even concentrate. We can't concentrate. We're still talking about issues in the present and issues in the past without thinking of the future. So what is the solution? The Catholic bishops now, whether they like it or not, it is time for everybody to call on their people. We too should call on us. All of us should come together and make sure that we put in every effort to have a president that would not just be acceptable, but who can turn this country around in 2023. And guess what? Remember the refrain that you and I always say, the primaries could jolly well be in February.
That's right.
So we do not have time. We do not have time. We don't have that time. We don't have that luxury. Mm. If we miss it, we are going to sentence ourselves to another 8 years. Mm. 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 Okay? Mm.
Please go and register if you haven't registered to vote come 2023. Where you can go to update your data, if you register but your data is not in order, go to cvr.inecnigeria.org. cvr.inecnigeria.org. Jimmy, we have to go now. Thank you so much for coming.
And very quickly to also tell the youth, elections are not won on social media.
Right, right.
On election day, don't sit in the comfort of your room with a green bottle by your side and start tweeting and think that is what is going to determine that.
Exactly.
Drop your Twitter, drop everything, and go and get actively involved. From what level? It's very, very important, Sheriff.
Indeed, indeed. I agree totally, completely with you. Jimmy, thank you again for coming on the show.
God bless you, Sheriff.
You too. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. Lagos, Nigeria. That's our show today. Dailies today, sponsored by MTN Nigeria. Thank you all for being a part of it. At 8 o'clock, because it's Health Thursday on the Morning Crossfire, we'll be looking at hepatitis. That's what we're looking at on the show today. Dr. Frederick Onwibuhai will be joining me. It's going to talk about hepatitis on Nigeria. Info's Morning Crossfire Health Thursday. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I'll be right back in a moment. Stay here.
6 o'clock in the 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.